The Ramban on this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayigash, asks an obvious question. After Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, and he was there for 22 years, part of those years he was a high-ranking servant in Potiphar's house, and part of those years, many of those years, he was in jail. However, there were a few years when he acted as a Mishnah LeMelech, the second to the king. We understand why perhaps it was impossible for Yosef to let his father know that he was okay while he was in jail, or even while he was in Potiphar's house. But once he was a Mishnah LeMelech, and he could imagine how much suffering his father was going through, and why didn't he tell him? Why didn't he send him a message? Why didn't he send a messenger to say, I'm here, I'm in Mitzrayim, I'm alive, just tell him, just let him know that he's okay? Again, while he was in jail, while he was entrapped, while he was a servant, perhaps he didn't have the wherewithal to do so. But once he was the Mishnah LeMelech, he certainly could have sent a message home. There are many, many answers given and many different approaches. We will try to go through some of the many interpretations to see what we can learn. The Ramban answers his question with the words of the Pasuk, Vayizkor Yosef es ha-chalomes asher chalam lahem. And he answers that when Yosef saw his brothers bowing down to him the first time, the 10 brothers who came down to him, he believed that this was the fulfillment of his dream. But he saw that the dream was not fulfilled totally. So he said, I need Binyamin to come down, because 11 brothers had to bow first, including Binyamin. And so he forced them to bring them down so that they can get to the second dream, which also included his father bowing down to him and his mother, who, according to Rashi, was Bilhah, who was going to bow to him. But he needed to have the dreams play through. And that's why he never told his father, because until the dreams happened, he believed that it's not yet the time for my father to know that I'm okay. The Abarbanel disagrees. He says, it's not up to Yosef to have the dreams come true. He's not the one in charge. How could he make this cheshbon without paying attention to the very real pain of his father? How could he? The Akedas Yitzchak adds, what benefit to him was the fulfillment of the dreams? They're dreams. And even if there was a benefit, could it possibly outweigh the pain of his father, the lack of Kibud Av V'Em? In the words of the Akedas Yitzchak, how foolish is it for a person to act in order to make a dream come true? A dream is not in our control, neither is its fulfillment in our control. So he's going to put his father through years of pain so that the dream could happen, even if we're going with the interpretation that the dream was a nevuah. It's not his choice to make his father suffer for extra just so that the dream could happen. That's in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand. Let the dream come true. So there must be something more. The Bechor Shor says that when they were about to kill Yosef, Yehuda said, why should we kill him? What will we gain from killing him? Instead, let's sell him. This way, we are still getting rid of him, but at least we're not the ones killing him. But they had to make sure that they were actually getting rid of him. To that end, they made him swear that he would never come back to his father's house and never tell his father that he was sold. He could never identify again as a child of Yaakov Avinu. That was the condition to saving his life. And indeed, he swore. The Medrash says that it wasn't just the brothers, but they brought HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the Chirim as well, into swearing as well, which is why Yaakov never had Ruach HaKadosh about it, and also why Yitzchak never told him, saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lai gila lai, v'ani agala lai, if Hashem never told him, then I should tell him. There was a condition made, an agreement made between the brothers, and according to the Medrash, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yosef was part of it, you're never allowed to say what happened. Even when he was revealing himself to his brothers, he made sure to do it without anyone else in the room, says the Das Kainim of Balei HaTosfos, so that he should not be going back on the deal that he made. And the Das Kainim says another reason, that when he was a servant and in jail, he didn't want to cause his father pain by letting him know that he was alive, but he's in this terrible situation in jail. And once he was Mishnah LeMelech, he didn't think he could be believed, that anyone would believe that he's Yosef. And if he was believed that this Mishnah LeMelech is Yosef, his brothers would be scared that he would try to kill him. And then they, the brothers, would have to run away and hide, and this would cause even more pain to their father. And the Aruch Chaim adds to this, and he says, of course we understand that there were divine reasons for the 22 years of Yaakov's pain, and we know these reasons. Some say it was a tikkun for the 22 years that he was not at home. Yaakov was not at home for 22 years. Yitzchak had sent him to go and find a wife. It took him 22 years to get back. These 22 years were not his fault. But there were 22 years that he was missing in Kibbutz Ava'im, and this was came to be misakonit. And also, we have another cheshbon here that we're supposed to be in Golos for 400 years, according to the Bris Ben Absarim. The Golos is going to last for 400 years, and it had to be fulfilled with only 210 in Mitzrayim. So for that to happen, there had to be a delay here. It would be another reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu would want this to wait. And also because Hashem wanted Yaakov to come down with honor. They're all divine reasons why Hashem would want Yaakov not to know that Yosef was alive. But the Or HaChaim says, all this doesn't understand what Yosef was thinking, just why it had to happen. You know, there's always two tracks. There's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and we understand that, often looking in retrospect, what he wants. But we're trying to understand the people at that time. Why didn't Yosef just tell his father where he was? And the Or HaChaim answers, and he says that Yosef feared for his own life, that he was scared that if the brothers somehow heard that he was alive, they would come back and kill him. And even once he became Mishnah LeMelech, and this was no longer a concern for him, he now started to worry for them. It says, Mutav she'yapil adam atzma l'kivshan ha'esh v'alya bin p'nei chavera. Better that a person should throw himself into a kivshan ha'esh rather than embarrass his friend, and certainly not his brothers. Which means that possibly, according to the Or HaChaim, what Yosef was thinking was, let me not cause them the embarrassment. Because if I tell my father I'm alive, it's going to have to come with the whole story of how I got here. And then I'm going to be causing them pain. Let's wait to see how things play now. Rav Samson Falhirsch broadens this idea, and he says, Yosef thought ahead and he understood. If I reveal myself now to my father, what will happen? Will I be welcomed back home? How will my father feel? What will my brothers feel? So he needed to make sure that his brothers were ready to accept him back as a brother, that their attitude had changed, so that when the revelation would happen, they could return to being a family. Otherwise, perhaps technically and physically, he would be home, but his coming home would tear apart the family. What does it mean when he says he remembered his dreams? He remembered that when he told his brothers about the dream, they thought that he wanted to claim the Melucha for himself. And he knew that they needed to see for themselves that even though he now has the Melucha, he doesn't want to do them any harm and lehefech, he only wants to do them good. In order to reveal himself, both sides had to get rid of any bad feelings so that they could reunite as a family reconciliated. Any message that he would have sent to Yaakov over the last 22 years would have resulted in the family being torn apart. Yaakov would find one son, but as a result, he would lose 10. There would be such tension and bad feelings involved that it wouldn't make any sense. By allowing the story to play out as it did, he created the scenario whereby he could gently tell his brothers, the story would unfold, and Yosef would be embraced as a brother by his siblings. And only at that time when the homecoming would be shalem, when everybody could be part of it, when nobody would be upset at anybody else, only at that time would Yaakov be told. And although there are others who disagree, for example, the Shlach HaKadosh simply says that this is what Hashem wanted, and therefore he took away Yosef's bechira so that he wouldn't tell his father, it does seem we still have to understand here what the cheshbon was on Yosef's end. And from here, we learn that we have to think before we act. Sometimes we feel like we're doing something for the greater good, and we jump right in, and we have to stop and take a step back and say, perhaps I'll achieve my first goal. In this case, my father will know. But to what end? At what expense? What's the cost? And we have to stop and pause and say, I may achieve my short-term goal, but I have to think about long-term as well. How will it play out if I jump in and do this thing that I think is the right thing to do? And only once we've really examined our motives, our actions, and the possible consequences of our action, should we then step in and act.